I want to try something new this morning. I've been away for 3 months, and usually when I would greet you on Sunday mornings, I would say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I want you to help me do that from now on, okay? So I'm going to say, "This is the day that the Lord has made," and I would love if you would say, "Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Oh, great. One more time. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Oh, that feels wonderful. It's a great joy to be with you this morning on this second Sunday of Advent. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us, some of you for the very first time, and we're so glad to be worshiping alongside of you and hope that you feel welcomed and surrounded by the love of Christ this morning. One of our practices is to register our attendance. So if you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads that are already being passed down the pew probably, and if you'd sign in and let us know that you're here. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about the congregation, perhaps looking for a new place to call your church home, please share an email address or a mailing address, phone number with us, and we'll reach out to you and begin that conversation. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser that will take you to the registration page. And for all things worship, there's also a QR code in the bulletin that will take you to different links for participating in today's service. We have many opportunities in this season of Advent for worship and study and fellowship, and I want to highlight, just go through them as much as I can. There's a lot of information in your bulletin, so be sure and take a look at that. Today, as we're here this morning, out in Reed Hall, there is the ministry market. A lot of our ministry partners are there with things that you can purchase for gifts that will go to support their good work in the world. In the library, there is a letter writing station. Our theme for Advent is messages of hope, and we want to give ourselves opportunities to write notes and send messages of hope to members of our congregation, to some of our friends at Room in the Inn and other places to share the love of Christ. So if you want to stop by, that station will be open throughout Advent, so you can come to the church during the week and write some of those notes. This afternoon at 4 o'clock in the gym, we'll have our Advent wreath-making workshop. It is lots of fun for all ages. It's a great way to meet some new people, and we hope that you'll come and continue the launch into this season with making of wreaths. Next Sunday, the 15th, we have our traditional candle lighting service, which is a multi-decade tradition here at West End. It begins at 5:30. We are a little concerned about parking. Our neighbors at Caterpillar are no longer able to offer us their garage. So if you have an opportunity to carpool, to ride share, we encourage you to do that. So we'll have plenty of room for everyone who wants to attend. On the following Wednesday, the 18th, we have our service of the longest night. You can read more about that in your bulletin. And then I want to highlight again, our Christmas Eve worship service is different this year. We're trying a service at a time of day that might work for some folks. So we'll have the 3 o'clock service that will be child-led. We'll have a 5 o'clock service and a 10 o'clock service. So it's different. And so we just think 3, 5, and 10. Anytime you're brushing your teeth, just say 3, 5, and 10, and that'll help you remember. And also, please spread the word because it's a change, and we want people to be able to be fully present for that service. So many ways to grow and learn and be together in this season of Advent. This is the second Sunday of Advent. We hear this morning from the prophet Malachi, who calls us to account and calls us to repent and return in the direction that God is calling us. So let us open ourselves to the word of the prophet as we worship together today.
Light the second candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of peace for the coming of Christ into our world. Now hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, with Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias, and ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God."
Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. God's love shines upon us. God's love refines us. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we come today rough, broken, and unfinished. We do not love you with our whole hearts. We do not love our neighbors, and too often we do not love ourselves. Cleanse us, purify us, give us your gentle love, your pure peace, and your shining hope. Let our hearts be steadfast and sure, as we go about our days, knowing we are held in your gentle hands. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ has died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Is the baptism of children. This morning, Blerta and Eric Selden bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Blerta and Eric, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your daughter for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this beautiful child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
My friends in the congregation, we too make our vows today. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Pray with me. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your daughter?
Eleanor.
Artha.
Eleanor Artha.
Eleanor Arta. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who dwells within you and will be your guide and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. And you're calling her Nora, right? Okay, Miss Nora, we're going to get a little closer to Mom and Dad and Big Sister, and everybody can put a hand on her foot or head or hold her hand. And we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Eleanor Arta, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Oh, yeah, there's Pastor Amy too. Okay, we're going to take Nora for a little walk down the aisle so everybody in her church family can see her a little more closely and she can see them. Because, Nora, these are the faces of your church family. And these are the folks who are going to help you learn how much God loves you. They're going to teach you how to follow Jesus. One of them may be your confirmation mentor. Some of them are going to teach you Sunday school, maybe teach you the songs of the faith. All sorts of ways we're going to walk together, and we're going to learn from you too. So let's listen. You are such a good listener. Let's listen to everybody as they make their promises to you. So we invite you to rise in body or in spirit, and I want to invite you to listen as they make their promises to you.
Members of the household of God, I commend Eleanor Arta to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Eleanor Arta, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 778 in your pew Bible. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant is whom you delight indeed. He is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers and their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Though for you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's
now time for the children to come forward. If you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come and up this way and spend a little time with me, that would be great. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. And this time is for you. Come on up. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. I love all the red and green and blue, the pretty colors. Good morning. So glad to see all of you. I see some sparkly things. Good job with the Advent candle this morning. All right. Well, I am so glad to see all of you. One of the things that's important to me right now, one of my goals, you might say, is to be healthy, to try and keep my body healthy. And the older I get, that means the more I need to practice stretching. Do any of you do stretches sometimes? Yeah. Well, one thing I want to try and be able to do is touch my toes. Do you think I can touch my toes?
Yes.
Do you think I can touch my toes? You can't see if I touch my toes or not. Shh, don't tell them if I touch my toes or not. They're my toes. Hi, I touched my toes. So if I'm going to touch my toes, I got to keep trying and keep doing that. And sometimes it hurts a little bit. You know, my muscles get sore and tight, but I have to stretch and I have to try. And it's okay if it makes me a little uncomfortable. Well, that's kind of like our life with God. I think God is always trying to stretch us and make us more loving. So you might think about it as making our hearts bigger. So we love more and more people and we love more like God wants us to love. And that takes practice. We've got to keep working on how we treat people and the words that we use and how we share and that sort of thing. And sometimes it can even be a little uncomfortable. Like sometimes I have a coach who helps me, you know, stretch, and they'll say, now you're not doing that right. You need to do it this way. And they correct me. And we need that too in our walk with God. We need teachers and Sunday school teachers and parents and other friends to help us when they say, you know, maybe you shouldn't use that word, or maybe you should be more kind to that person. We need other people to help us too, to be more loving. So I'm grateful for a God who loves us enough to keep working on us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, our goal is to be more loving, to love you, to love other people, and to love ourselves as much as you love us. So keep working on us. We thank you for the people who teach us and correct us and show us how to be more loving by how they live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 3, 4, 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie, and I think that may be Miss Holly. So go have fun. Well, as you all can imagine, over the past 3 months, as I've been on renewal leave, I've read a lot of books. I love to read. And I read a lot of fluff. It just feels good to read a book that has a happy ending, you know? But I read some deeper, more challenging novels. I read Henry Nouwen and Cynthia Bourgeau and some spiritual books to help bolster my spiritual practice. And I read one book that I hoped would help me do my job a little better. I read Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. Any of you read Brené Brown or heard Brené Brown? She's really popular right now. She is a researcher. She began in the field of social work. She's a researcher and a speaker, and she really leapt to fame with a TED Talk she did on shame. And if you've never seen it, I would highly encourage you. It's really, really good. In more recent years, she's been focusing on organizations and helping companies, corporations, nonprofits, other organizations to communicate better, to build trust, to be healthy in the way that they go about doing their work. And so this book is particularly focused on that work. And one of her points is that in order for a company to do better, in order for an employee to perform better and to do our very best, we need feedback. We need to be able to give and receive constructive feedback. And I'm terrible at that, y'all. I'm just going to say it. It's really hard. It made me feel better when she said, it's hard for most people to sit down and have a conversation and say, you're wonderful, but right now this thing isn't going so well. Or, I was disappointed when this happened. How can we work together to make that better? But she makes a really good point that we're never going to grow, we're never going to stretch, we're never going to live into who we are gifted to be if we never get any of that feedback. And if that is true in the corporate world, in the nonprofit world, it's especially true in the faith community and in the church. Except in our case, the goal is much more eternal. Our goal is as a people, as the church, to be a sign of the kingdom of God on earth, to be a place where people can look and see that's what God's love looks like. Our goal on the journey of faith is to grow ever deeper in love with God, to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, our neighbor and ourselves. And that's hard work. And if John Wesley were here, the founder of our Methodist movement, I told you I'd mention John Wesley every Sunday. Not quite, but he would call it Christian perfection, that our goal is perfection in love, not perfection where we never make mistakes, but where we grow perfect and complete in love. And if we're going to be on that path of growing in love of God, neighbor, and self, we need feedback. We need accountability. John Wesley understood that. When he went and preached to thousands of people, he didn't just preach and leave town. He set up small groups of class meetings where people would get together every week and hold each other accountable in love. Not judge each other and condemn each other, but say, did you read scripture this week? Did you pray? Did you give? Did you do acts of mercy for the poor, for those in need? Did you visit the sick? And they would hold each other accountable as a reminder. I mean, we can do Weight Watchers like that. How much more important is it to do that on our journey of faith? But I'll confess that as a pastor, it is sometimes hard for me to say the hard words. You know, my primary message... I don't know what's going on. Maybe I should stand still. It doesn't work either. If I had to boil down my preaching to one idea, it would be trying to convey the good news that you are loved. You are a beloved child of God, and God invites you into a living relationship. It's harder for me to say, and yet, here are things we need to work on. Because we can go straight to shame. We can forget the love of God when we get caught up. If all we do is believe in the unconditional love of God and the movement of God toward us, and we never take responsibility to respond to that love, or we never allow that radical grace of God to change us and transform us, then that's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. It's just a transaction, and it leaves us self-centered and judgmental and narrow-minded and no longer willing to grow. So in our text this morning, the prophet Malachi is just another example of God speaking a word of accountability to God's people. To give a little bit of context, I read a commentary this week that was fascinating, and she was talking about maybe as we read the book of Malachi, we should imagine that we're in a courtroom drama. And the people have rested their case. They have put God on trial. They have said to God, you've forsaken your covenant. You don't love us anymore. Look at all these other nations around us. They're all doing better than we are. You have forsaken us, God. And it felt that way. This was a moment in history where the exiles who had been taken away by the Babylonian armies had been released. And it was a season of rebuilding. They were beginning to rebuild the temple, but it was hard work to do that rebuilding. And they were looking around at all these other nations, Edom in particular, and they're doing really well. God must be with them, and God has forsaken us. So the people make their case. They rest their case. The book of Malachi begins, and I just have this image of God. It doesn't say this, but I just have this image of God rising up from the table, rolling up the sleeves, and saying, okay, now it's my turn. And God makes God's case in the book of Malachi. But here's where it starts. The very beginning of the book of Malachi, the first thing God says is, I have loved you. We could translate that Hebrew as, I have always loved you. I love you still. I have never stopped loving you. So all of the hard words that are about to come from the prophet begin with love. It's all because God loves them and wants them back and wants them to be who God has called them to be that God says all of these hard things to hold them accountable. The prophet focuses in on what's happening in the temple. He aims a lot of his judgment at the priests. Ouch. But he talks about how the people are bringing their offerings to God, but they're bringing their dregs and their leftovers. They're not bringing the best of who they are and offering it to God. They want to keep most of it for themselves. They're not putting their absolute trust in God. They're not putting God first. They're more interested in political intrigue and what's happening in other nations and protecting themselves. And so God says over and over again, I have not changed. It is you who have not stayed with me. And so in this text, in these hard words, there's an invitation to return. Did you hear that word in the text Isabel read? Return to me. Another way to say that is repent, which literally means turn. Turn back to me. Every day, there is an opportunity to return, to repent, to start again, to reorient ourselves in God's direction. And Malachi gives us this powerful set of images that remind us of how God wants to keep working on us and never give up on us. Remember, for that ultimate goal of love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self. Malachi says, the messenger is coming who will be like a refiner's fire and fuller soap, and he will sit down and polish you like silver and gold. All three of those things sound painful. Fire that burns away the impurities. Fuller soap, which is like lye soap. Has anybody ever washed with lye soap? I have not, but I understand it stings like the dickens. It's like when you skinned your knee in recess and the school nurse would put that orange stuff on there. Ah, it hurts, but it purifies and it helps to heal. And this image of God just sitting down, taking as much time as is needed to polish and scrub. Sometimes the lessons we learn are hard to hear. I can think of many conversations over the course of my ministry, of my faith journey, where someone loved me enough to say, that decision you made was made out of fear and not out of faith. Or the way that you said that was unkind. That reflect, and in the moment, all you want to do is just run away and say, no, they're wrong. But if we can open ourselves enough to receive that feedback, that accountability from someone whose heart we trust, that's just another way God can work on us and deepen our faith. I may be wrong, but I feel like we're kind of in a moment where people of faith are getting a little entrenched. Like we want to be so certain in our beliefs and our opinions, and we give up on learning. We stop being open to the idea that we could be wrong, and there may be more that God wants to show us. Some more stretching we are called to do. And my hope for myself and for all of us is that we can maintain a posture of openness and willingness to learn. Oh, look at this. Thank you, Chase. The invitation. That's what it is. It's an invitation. The prophet speaks a word of judgment, a difficult word of accountability, but it ends with an invitation. And it begins with love.
It as we affirm our faith together in the creed that's found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray for throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill those out and put them in the offering plate. Ask that you look in your bulletin at the prayer requests that are listed there and ask you to keep those situations and names in your heart throughout the week. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the prophets, give your church the courage to speak your truth and to tell of your love. God of the prophets, we ask you to hear us and help us. God of the angels, give your church voice to sing your presence into the world. Give the world a freedom song and help us to speak peace throughout the earth. O God of the angels, hear us and help us. God of Mary and Elizabeth, give your church grace to be pregnant with hope and to bring forth life for a barren world. God of our mothers, hear us and help us. God of Zechariah and Joseph, give your church dreams and visions and the courage to follow them. God of our fathers, hear us and help us. God of the shepherds, give your church humility, and to all who sit in darkness, alone and afraid, a light from heaven proclaiming peace. God of the shepherds, hear us and help us. God of the Magi, give your church gifts and the will to leave home to find you among the poor. God of the Magi, hear us and help us. God of the Holy Innocents, give your church power to stand against violence and to protect the powerless. God of the Victim, hear us and help us. God, our Sovereign, you are always coming into the world. Come to us now, soon, and forever, and let us receive the child of holiness and the wind of change, through whom this day we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to gather our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you that are joining us online are invited to give me the options that are on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass the offering plates down the rows to you. There's also a QR code printed in the bulletin that will give you a way to give online. Today, may we give with joy to God.
The good news today is that God is not finished with us yet. Coming into the world is one who will refine us and purify us and teach us and show us the way and love us into deeper love. So let us stay open. Let us be ready to learn from him. In Christ's peace we go.